on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Many of us several months ago remember in St. Paul, Minnesota, the church that was infiltrated during a service with protesters, and then the conversations coming about what exactly was that? Did the people interrupting that church service have First Amendment rights? And do we have First Amendment right to disrupt a church service? It's something that Tyler O'Neill has put to an article at Daily Signal. Go to dailysignal.com and you'll find the article there. But joining us to kind of walk through kind of a closer look at this, Delano Squires with the Heritage Foundation. Heritage.org is the website. Delano, thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, like I said, certainly most of us remember this, and lots of questions were popping around. You know, did they have the right to do that? How should the church respond, and what have you? What did you find in this article from Tyler O'Neill?
Well, one of the things that I found is this idea that the protesters believe that they can appeal to the First Amendment in defense of their disruption of a church service. So this wasn't just that they protested outside of a church on a Wednesday afternoon. They have protested during the Sunday worship service because one of the pastors works for ICE. So this was an anti-immigration protest. And one of the things that Tyler, you know, my colleague at Heritage notes is that they chanted, you know, who shut this down? And they responded, we shut this down. So this was more than just an expression of speech. This was a political action that interfered with the gatherers, the people in the church, their ability to, practice their First Amendment rights to freely practice their religion. So it will be interesting to see how this is handled in the courts. One of the ironies is that the 38 people were indicted on two charges. One was for violating the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, or the FACE Act, which was used in the Biden administration to go after pro-life protesters who activists who would gather in front of abortion clinics. So FACES Act was used to target them. And then the other is in violation of the Ku Klux Klan Act, which criminalizes efforts to deprive Americans of their fundamental rights, including the free exercise of religion.
So there's actually, there's been a motion to dismiss charges. And again, they're clinging to the First Amendment, but I was going to say that just doesn't seem like it would stand. I don't know if there's actually been a judgment on it, but we need to see what the courts would do. Where do you see this headed, and how might it impact future clashes between those on the left and those on the right, and maybe those with a biblical worldview compared to those who may have an ideology contrary to that?
Well, one potential impact, particularly if the charges are dismissed, I could easily see this emboldening activists who say, you know what, we don't care if the people we want to reach or inconvenience are gathering in a church. We now know that we have legal protection to disrupt their service, or it could be any religious service. But I think, particularly as it relates to churches and the gathered assembly of God's people, I think this would set a pretty bad precedent. And one of the things that struck me is that in Tyler's reporting, he said some of the people there didn't know if this was an active shooter situation. And it reminded me of the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, just over a decade ago with Dylann Roof, where he was an avowed white supremacist. He walked into a Bible study midweek at a historical black church in South Carolina, and he shot and killed 9 people. So that speaks to the fact that this is not tied strictly to ideology, but more importantly, that you don't want to set the precedent that houses of worship are places that can be disrupted by people with, you know, political motives. So I think that's the type of precedent that this could set, and I think it would be an unfortunate precedent. Now, how the judge would rule, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to predict which way this would go. But I think all Americans should be worried about the idea that now not even a church is off limits when it comes to people wanting to protest.
Yeah, and a reminder, you know, part of what the indictment included mentioned these agitators who'd come into the church service were screaming at crying children and blocking parents from getting to their children in Sunday school. And that one agitator even took the time to told a child his parents were Nazis, which, you know, that is, you know, well, we've seen it thrown around in recent months, certainly, as the second Trump administration has come in. It's been a common word used. And as much as, you know, you can clearly see, it's not even close to a good comparison, even if there is something that, you know, maybe you need to address with what the administration is doing. But how important it is as we have these engagements that we choose our words carefully so that we're being accurate in what has happened and who people are and what they're representing. So we don't really lose our credibility when we speak to our side of the issue. And anything on that you want to comment?
No, I agree with you. I think these types of situations, it's always tempting to look at this from an agenda perspective. You know, does it serve my side, quote unquote, or not? And I think this is a bipartisan issue or bipartisan tendency. And I think what is a better way to approach it is to look at the principles at play.
Yeah.
Specifically, whether houses of worship should be off limit for these types of aggressive political and activist moves. And I would say yes, and I would hold to that principle regardless of which house of worship we're talking about, regardless of what location, or regardless of the politics of the people who are trying to disrupt the religious service. So I hope that is how all Americans would see this particular issue, and not just allow this to be treated as another partisan political football.
Yeah, I love that you made secondary the politics invested in this. You know, as primarily we're broadcasting to a Christian audience, my encouragement to the listener would be, remember, you're an ambassador for Christ. We are to represent well, and when, you know, don't marvel when you see persecution. We're reminded in Scripture that there will be persecution. And historically looking back, persecution always seems to have been something that we've seen church grow in. Not that we're praying for persecution. We can pray for revival. But just remember where we are and what's primary is our relationship with the Lord and how we represent Him and to do that well. As always, Delano, man, sure do appreciate your time, and I would encourage the listener to go find this article at dailysignal.com, written by Tyler O'Neill. Does the First Amendment give you the right to disrupt a church service? Delano, hope to have you back on again real soon, and appreciate the update today. I would encourage our listeners to go to heritage.org as well to find out more about the work being done there. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.